KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have a mostly clear sky, just a few thin clouds out there. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with winds northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour and a high around 62. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, the Reverend George B. Hickok, a Hitchcock House that is near Lewis, opened Monday for guided tours. The tours are available Wednesdays through Sundays with the first tour each day beginning at 1:15 p.m. Additional tours will start at 2:15, then 3:15, and again at 4:15 p.m. In order to comply with CDC guidelines, a mask will be required and social distancing will be observed. A mask will be provided with the cost of admission. The charge for a tour is $5 per person over the age of 14. The Hitchcock House was built in 1856 and was used to assist in the safe passage of fugitive slaves through southwestern Iowa on their way east and north to Canada during the mid-19th century. The house now serves as an interpretive center of the life of an early pioneer and the escaping slaves who traveled the Underground Railroad to freedom. The house is on the National Register of Historic Places and was accepted as a site on the National Park Service Network to Freedom and designated a National Historic Landmark in February of 2006. Elsewhere in the news, three people were arrested on separate charges early Saturday morning in Mills County. At around 2:15 a.m., 33-year-old Zachary Clay Younts of Council Bluffs was arrested on Main Street in Malvern on warrants for violation of probation and contempt of court. His bond was set at $25,000. And at around 3:25 a.m. Saturday, 31-year-old Courtney Page Pontow of Malvern was arrested following a traffic stop on I-29. She was charged with OWI first offense with bond set at $1,000. At around 5 a.m. Saturday, 61-year-old Thomas Oscar Anderson of Red Oak was arrested for possession of a controlled substance with bond set at $2,000. Dry conditions have allowed farmers to spend a lot of time on the tractor last week. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
The new USDA crop report shows nearly half the state's corn crop was planted in the last week to take the percentage from 20 to 69% completed. The fast-paced output puts the corn planting 9 days ahead of the five-year average. There were plenty of beans in the planters as well. The percentage of soybeans planted moved from 6 to 43% in the last week. The bean planting is now 12 days ahead of normal. I'm Dar Danielson.
Growers planting the traditional corn and bean crops in the state have a pretty conventional process, while industrial hemp growers face a lot more questions. Robin Prusner with the Iowa Department of Agriculture said there are four options for most hemp growers.
So you have to kind of figure out what you're growing before you start, which is different than what we have with our normal crops in Iowa. Typically with corn, you can raise it, and then you decide if you're going to sell it to a feed mill or sell it to an ethanol plant. Hemp is a little more complicated than that, and you have to start planting earlier.
With hemp, you can grow it to extract the CDB to create seeds for grain or for fiber. Prusner said the different uses cause growers to use different methods in tending those crops.
You will see an incredibly wide spectrum of fertilization techniques and products out there, with some people not fertilizing at all, others investing in very specific products to their crop.
Prusner said the costs of the inputs used for the crop are also varied.
Depending on whether you plant seed, and if it's feminized seed, it can cost $1 or more a seed, and it can cost a lot less if it's not feminized. And if you are transplanting what's called clones or even seed starts, they can run as high as $5 a piece, and then you have your labor planting costs.
Weather conditions are a factor for all crops, including hemp.
Once it's established, likes it on the dry side. It's not uncommon to see people irrigating if they're going for the high-value flower crop for extraction. It is also not uncommon to just see it planted out in the farm field with no irrigation. I really do kind of see it from alpha to omega on how people are raising it.
Prusner said hemp growers do not want wet conditions around harvest time because that can cause the plants to get moldy. If your neighbor's lawn is looking shaggy, don't scold them as they may be taking part in No Mow May. It's an effort to toss out the image of a perfect lawn and raise awareness about alternatives that are friendlier to the environment and to pollinators, especially bees, which are now emerging from hibernation. Jenny Mitchell, Education Program Coordinator of the Insect Zoo at Iowa State University, says lawns are America's biggest crop and they provide no food or resources.
The non-native grasses that we use as our lawn were brought over in the 1700s, and they're really outdated. They don't bring anything to our life except work, right? How many people like mowing the lawn or applying fertilizers or anything to your lawn. It's a lot of work.
The No-Mow May effort is just starting to catch on, Mitchell says, as about 24 homeowners in the Ames area have pledged to take part. Some plan to convert all or at least part of their lawns away from traditional grass.
We can plant alternatives that also help pollinators and insects and wildlife in general. Birds, we can plant things like violets, which are low-growing and do not require lawn. We can do many different ground covers, creeping thyme, which can withhold foot traffic, white Dutch clover, all sorts of other plants.
Iowa has what's believed to be the highest proportion of privately held land in the U.S., which is why, Mitchell says, it's important for homeowners to consider making the change.
Whether you're converting your entire lawn, like I am, or just a small area, no matter what, it's going to have a positive impact on the environment. Reduce pesticides, reduce greenhouse gases from using a lawnmower if you're using a gas-powered lawnmower. And frankly, you have more time to stop and smell the roses.
Even people who live in apartments, she says, can help by starting with their balconies and planting coneflowers, goldenrod, coreopsis, and other pollinator-friendly alternatives. Of course, you check your local ordinance to make sure that you're not being allowed to allow your grass to grow too tall. And to get fined for that, you can learn more about this No-Mow May and the at the ISU Insect Zoo's website, which link to which is in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. That's a check of the news this hour. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.